And that was Wake Up Child by Vision.
Good song. Really good song. Great band.
Another fallen brother in the music scene. You know, between, okay, now John, we got John Horn, who was a great vocalist. Gary, we lost him. Yeah. Gary Henson recently. He was a great drummer. Unfortunately, we're losing some really good musicians in the Tupelo, Mississippi area. But on the other side, we're starting to build up pieces for a really good band.
Oh yeah, it's going to be a hell of a band.
We're gonna talk a lot about we're gonna do a whole tribute section to John, and throughout this whole episode, we're gonna be playing songs. I was actually gonna play this like you know how we intro a song and then it fades out and we talk over it.
Yeah,
I was like, we've never done like a whole song as an intro. And we were listening to it, and I was like, I like changing it up a little. Let's do a whole song. Again, the unfortunate passing of the North Mississippi music scene's own John Horn. Very, very sad. We've had a very tough mourning phase. Now we're trying to get into the mode of celebrating his life. As we know, you know, musicians never really die. They just transform into their legacy, which is the music that they leave behind that we can enjoy forever and ever, because music never dies. And that's the kind of mindset that kind of keeps me positive when bad things like this happen, is that there's a lot of good music out there to listen to, and we're gonna have music on this podcast tonight, and we're gonna talk a lot more about that later. We have a big show tonight. There's a lot of show here. This yeah. is a
lot.
This is a double stack. This is a Baconator show.
This is probably close to a double Baconator.
Is there such thing as a double?
No, yeah, there's a triple Baconator.
Okay, let me tell you what the show is. You go to Wendy's and you get the triple stack.
Triple Baconator.
The triple Baconator. Yeah. Baconator. The triple Arnold Schwarzenegger. Then you go over to Hardee's and get a monster burger.
Oh, my God.
And, just slide the buns out to where you can, just merge the innards together. And that's what you got.
Yeah. Which means next week's episode we'll even go over to Burger King and get a Whopper. And mix that in the mingle.
And you know, I love Big Macs, but did it seem like Big Macs used to be bigger?
Oh, yeah.
Now they're just like Macs.
The meat, the bread, everything.
The whole thing. The circumference of the sandwich used to be like, it seemed like it was big. It was a Big Mac.
And the Big Mac sauce wasn't Thousand Island back in the day.
It was secret sauce, and they don't really appreciate you blabbing it out on a podcast.
I don't give
Okay. Wait.
Stop.
I've got the Big Mac sauce people on the line right now, and they are not happy.
Guess what? I'll take that call.
Speaking of taking calls, and this has nothing to do with taking calls, but I'm just desperate for a good segue. We got the Royal Rumble coming up Sunday. This coming Sunday is the Royal Rumble. Can you believe that?
Hey, we'll have to take a call later for that. Some guy named Jack's calling you.
Yeah, the phone's always ringing. Which, by the way, if we sound a little bit thick-tongued...
I don't think we do.
It is after 10 o'clock at night, and we have been having a few drinky winkies. I ain't going to lie. But we've still got our faculties together.
Hey, we're celebrating John. We're celebrating friendship. We're celebrating anything we can celebrate right now.
Absolutely. And this Sunday, we're going to be celebrating the Royal Rumble.
Yes, we are.
What are we? Are we going to grill?
Yes, we are. You just got to let me know what.
That was a dumb question. I'm sorry.
You just got to let me know what.
Here, just slap it.
Oh, I fist bumped it. What?
That was so awkward.
I'm
glad this isn't a video. You made it weird.
It should have been. Anthony will be mad that it's not.
All right, I've got a few show notes here. I need to plug AdvertiseCast. Go to AdvertiseCast.com and search for Kill Pop Culture if you want some opportunities. Opportunities. Some opportunities to advertise on this show.
You want some apple steam?
Anything from a shout out to a cross promote to we do birthday wishes. We do 6 month commercial, 1 year commercial. I will say this though, and I thought about this the other day. If you want us to do a birthday shout out, and they're really cheap. You can go on AdvertiseCast and check out our prices. Make sure you give us plenty of notice, because we're usually weekly, but sometimes we're bi-weekly. I want to make sure that, you know, if you pay for a shout-out, we don't shout them out after their birthday. Or yeah. I guess it could be belated, but...
Yeah, you got to let us know something.
Yeah, plan ahead if that's what you want.
If it's belated, you need to give us a date or something so we can let them know.
I wanted to plug Stitcher. We are on Stitcher now. That's a really cool website because it has a listen later feature, which I know if you subscribe to us on iTunes, you can download an episode and listen to it later. But if you're not listening to us through iTunes, that's a pretty cool feature where you can download the episode, and if you don't have internet or Wi-Fi, you can listen to it later. We also have a couple of cool announcements. People love free shit.
Yeah, we got some giveaways.
I love free shit.
Yeah,
like free things are the best things. The best price to pay is nothing. And we want to let you experience that as the Kill Pop Culture listeners.
It's not gasoline for a year, though.
No. It's better.
Yeah.
You don't need gas when you have an awesome book to read.
Ba-doom!
Written by Kill Pop Culture alumni Shannon Byers.
That's right. We do have.
Is it autographed?
It is autographed.
It is autographed. We have an autographed copy of Shannon Byers' new book, How Not to Be a Ghost Hunter. We're going to give it away like we do all of our giveaways. We're going to do a... You're going to need to email us, and in the subject, put...
There we go.
Ghost book. There you go. Put ghost book in the subject. Put whatever you want in the body. If complimenting us gets you favoritism, hey, who knows? It doesn't hurt to try.
Shannon is a really, really good friend of ours, too.
Very talented author.
Very, very knowledgeable. You know, this is what I strive to be when I have time to do the podcast stuff. Not write a book, because I don't ever want to think about writing a book about anything. The spell check would be horrible. She's very, very knowledgeable on what she talks about. I have started reading the book. I hadn't got finished with it yet. But she just covers so many different aspects on things and how to debunk things. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, definitely email us. Check it out. We'll put your name in the hat. You definitely want to get a copy of this book.
Yeah, I'm gonna read the book. I have not got a chance to read it yet, but I have thumbed through it. And I can go ahead and tell you that it's an easy read. Like,
she breaks it down. It's
yeah, coming from me, a person that I listen to books on audio, and I don't read a lot of books because...
Yeah, words suck.
Because there's a lot of little, like, word things on the page that confuse me. But it's an easy read, and it's a really awesome book. You need to check it out. Even if you don't win it, you need to go out and buy it. It's on Amazon. It's everywhere. Where books are available, I think.
Yeah.
So we got that going on, and like I was saying before, we're going to do the giveaway like we do all of our giveaways. Email us, put ghost book as the subject, and we'll print those emails out, and we'll do a Facebook Live where we draw a name and announce it. We got Railroad Festival.
Railroad Festival is coming up sooner than later.
And I like doing exclusive stuff. And we're going to get into like even more exclusive stuff later. We've confirmed a few bands already for the second stage of the Railroad Festival this year. And these are not the only bands. These aren't the only bands that we're talking to. There's a lot of unconfirmed acts, but so far we can announce that this year at the Rail Festival you will see Rivka.
Yeah.
Shutdown Tactic.
Yeah.
Affliction of the Absent.
Nice.
Somatic Theory.
Awesome.
Seeking Seven.
Yeah. Do it. You still got it.
That was awesome. That was like, I'm impressed.
Do it again. I want to see if you can do it
again. I'm scared that I can't do better than
that. Do it one more time. We can always edit
it out. It's like if you do something perfect, you don't want to do it again. And last but not least, we have confirmed because it's on good authority because we know some of the people in this band. We are in contact with them
very regularly.
And they're kind of weird and hard to talk to, but we have talked to them. Killjay.
There you go. We will be playing the Railroad Festival this year.
Yeah, and of course, I'm sure me and you will do
a selfie.
No. Well,
yeah, we do that.
Every year we do a selfie from the stage. So, hey, if for no other reason to get in our selfie, you need to show up.
Yeah, show up and you can be in the selfie.
But like, even if you hate our music, you'll be in our infamous yearly selfie.
Yeah, you have to be there for the selfie, though. It starts right before the set starts. You got to do it. Come on. Be there.
But Friday night, it'll be all acoustic acts. I have a lot of more acoustic acts to announce. I'm sure me and you will do a thing.
Yeah.
That'll be totally different from the Killjay set, but it'll be April the 8th?
8th and 9th.
Is it 8th and 9th or 7th and 8th? God, don't make me pull up a calendar. I'm not editing this out.
Pull up a calendar.
January, February,
right there. I can't walk over to my phone on the charger and do it.
Yeah, it's April 7th and 8th. April the 7th will be acoustic acts from 5 to 10, and then April the 8th from noon until 10 p.m. It will be full bands.
And I just want to say, anybody that wants to come help set up the stage, feel free to come out. Both days, not just Friday. But
if you're
days.
Actually going to help,
yeah, don't come out and
get in our way.
And sit. Don't come out there and sit there and play a guitar.
If anybody wants to be a sponsor of the second stage, if you just want to advertise with us, or if you want to set up a table, if you want your banners, like we got different advertising spots. We're definitely looking for sponsors for that because it's a free to the public show. It costs you absolutely nothing to come see all these great bands, which in normal cases, like every band on this bill, you would normally have to pay money to see them. But you can actually go enjoy the show for free. But it's not free for us to put on, so we have to rely on our sponsors. So if you know of anybody, small business, big business, anybody that wants to advertise, it's a great advertising opportunity because they advertise the Railroad Festival like big time.
Yeah. Definitely.
You know the Railroad Festival, the Railroad Festival newspaper that the magazine that comes out.
Right.
They call it a tab.
Yeah.
But it's literally just like it's like a magazine that comes out in the paper.
It's a whole section of nothing but Railroad Festival.
Yeah, it's like just a little magazine, and it is so cool. Like the bands that like every band that plays gets a picture and a bio in there. And a whole write-up. Yeah, I think if you're a band, it's worth it to go play this show just to get in the tab.
Yeah.
Because it's such a cool, like, I think it's for, and we'll have a bunch of those copies to give out like we do every year.
So if you know bands that are interested that want to play the Railroad Festival with us, hit us up. Let us know. Or have them hit us up. Let us know.
I think we've got 3 slots left, and we've got about 4 bands waiting to confirm.
Yeah.
But
there was one I was going to talk to you about.
Things change. You never know. We may have a slot open. So
right.
It never hurts to ask. And, you know, you could always put in for next year if you can't get on this year. The majority of this episode is an interview that we're going to do. Tupelo Comic Con's right around the corner. We've got some big announcements that we make during this interview. We also do a whole segment during the interview. So I'm not going to waste a whole lot. We're like at 20 minutes now for an intro. I'm not going to waste a whole lot more time, and we're just going to jump into that interview. Probably do a commercial first.
Sounds good to me.
We'll probably drink another beer while it's playing, even though we probably shouldn't.
No, we're good.
But we were sober during the interview. Oh, which, by the way, I did some research. During this interview, we talk about an Avengers movie from 1978.
Yeah.
It didn't exist.
That's what I was wondering, you know.
It was a fan cut trailer, but it was well done. Like, it convinced me.
Right.
I thought it was a for real thing. I thought they got the...
But then again, like I said earlier, too, it could be Mandela Effect, which is a whole different topic for another day. Yeah.
Research the Mandela Effect before we talk about that. Another thing, because we did the Movies That Don't Suck segment with our guest, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah.
I really want to start incorporating that segment with the person that we interviewed.
Yeah, because it's got guest pick kind of deal.
Yeah, the guest gets to pick the movie. But I thought about something like totally at random to add to last episode's Movies That Don't Suck and That People Say Do. Another cool thing about the Ghostbusters movie,
right,
is that they used actual real-life paranormal investigation terms.
Yeah.
Like EVPs and stuff like that.
Stuff that I completely
understood. And I don't think we brought that up. We may have.
No, we didn't.
I don't think we did.
We didn't. You know, but, you know, that's one thing about it that I actually enjoy, too. And I guess I didn't pay as much attention to that. Or maybe I did subconsciously. But now that you bring it up, I do see that. And they used real terms. They didn't use PKE meters and, you know, weird terminology and stuff. They used, like, real factual.
5.4 on the gigameter.
What?
What?
Ain't that like measuring?
I think that was from
earthquakes. That was Tremors.
That was a good movie. Spoiler alert for the next Movies That Don't Suck. Actually, I don't think anybody would argue that Tremors was awesome. Probably won't have to
do
that.
I've seen Tremors 1 through 17.
Dude,
now.
I've seen the straight to DVD of Tremors 9.
I know, right? You can't go wrong with Tremors. I mean, they're big, giant-ass worms with teeth.
Like, they couldn't even afford Reba for that one.
Right.
They had to, like, fake, like, off-screen divorce for her husband to be on there. All right, so without further ado, here's Jamie, the El Presidente, the Burrito Supreme of the Tupelo Comic Con, telling you everything you need to know about the TCC, which stands for Tupelo Comic Con. But first, commercial.
Are you looking to reach a wider audience? Are you looking to get your name out there? Are you looking to go to the next level with advertisement? Well, think no more. Advertise with us at Kill Pop Culture.
Just tell us a little bit about your business and leave the rest to us. We'll build you a state-of-the-art commercial to be played every episode.
We're only going to take on about one or two more sponsors, so be sure to grab these slots up before they're gone.
We have plans to fit any budget, and we can build a commercial for any type of business.
Email killpopculture69@gmail.com today.
All right, we have live, literally live, in studio, we have Mr. Jamie, what was your last name again?
Chuck Norris.
We have Jamie Chuck Norris. Emperor Supreme of Tupelo Comic Con, and he's live right here, high atop the only floor of KillJ headquarters. And we're talking about Tupelo Comic Con. How you doing, Jamie?
Hey, I am alive for now. Ask me again in 5 minutes.
Well, I told you on the phone earlier that I don't know if it's going to be Banjo Bob or Jason Voorhees, but if you turn down the wrong driveway or road coming to this location, you usually have some problems.
That's why I watch Bruce Lee movies.
Did the GPS take you right to my driveway?
About 4 times, actually. I passed it, turned around, came back, passed it, turned around, came back. I'm pretty sure that I went to the same 2 houses like 5 times to turn around, but that's not the point.
Well, you made it, so here you are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the last we spoke on the air, we were actually live at Tupelo Comic Con. And if anybody wants to go listen to that, it's actually on our SoundCloud, www.soundcloud.com/killpopculture. And you're in segment 5. And we talked, one thing I went back and listened to it today. We talked about how you had originally planned when you were in the pre-planning phase, you planned for 150 to 300 people, and mm-hmm. you sold more tickets than that, like the first day or something.
We sold the 300 tickets before the day of the event. We actually cut it off, and I had some people call me up and be like, hey, we want tickets. I'm like, I'm sorry, too bad. Should have bought them earlier.
So did you actually get a final count or at least a ballpark of how many people came through the door? Because I know it was like, it had to be thousand or thousands.
Yeah. Right now what we're guesstimating is 1,200. We believe that we've hit further than that. We had some issues with the door and the clicker and people going to lunch and not continuing to clicker the clicker when they were at lunch.
Right, clicker the
but,
clicker.
But, yeah, we're guesstimating based off of the clickers and everything that we've seen about 1,200.
That is awesome. I mean, I would think it would be at least that because for a while there in the major influx of the day, like you would have to wait for people to leave. Mm-hmm. So that other people could come in because you were at maximum capacity.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we're talking like, good thing a fire marshal wasn't close by.
Yeah, we hit that maximum capacity in the first hour. Like, we had to stop the line that was coming in. And the original line from when we opened the door had not all made it into the building yet. So there were people that were waiting out there from the time we opened the doors until the moment we said, sorry, it's done.
Well, that's like what we were talking about on the way up there, actually, to Comic-Con that day. Not do that. There you go. All right. We were talking about discussing, trying to figure out how many, you know, we thought, you know, as the podcast, we thought would be at the Comic-Con. And I think I won that as far as our guessing the closest to it. But even like all of us, when we got there and that line was already built up as big as it was just like, wow. I mean, did you realize that it was going to be that big of a deal that early on?
I cannot say that I did at that time. There was definitely the possibility. We had over 1,000 people on our Facebook group saying that they were going to come. But Facebook isn't the most reliable number source when it comes to events. Yeah. So we were hoping maybe 600 or 700 would actually show up the day of the event and that the rest of the people would be like, oh snap, I missed that shit.
Yeah. So like when you first decided to do the con, did you envision it as an annual thing or did you just say, hey, let's see how it goes this year? And if it does good, then we'll do more. Or were you always hoping that this would be a thing you do every year?
I was actually expecting this to be a every year kind of thing. Most conventions do not make any form of profit. They actually make a loss on their first year. And so I was expecting to come out hurting a little bit in the pocketbooks. How well we did or didn't do on the first year was going to determine how big we went for year two. And so we did so well with year one, we've more than 10 times the stuff that we're doing in year two.
Well, I was telling you earlier before we started recording that, you know, I do the coordination for the second stage at the Railroad Festival. And what you do is for a Comic-Con is way more involved than just setting up music. And by the time I'm done with the Railroad Festival, I need like a vacation. I need a break. I'm burned out. Mm-hmm. Is that how you felt after the first Comic-Con, or were you just immediately like going to phase two, planning for part two?
I don't know what happened for 3 days. I mean, no, I went home, I crashed on the couch. I woke up half a day later and my friends actually contacted my boss for me to get me the day off because I was supposed to go into work that day and my legs didn't work. So I'm really glad that they ended up doing that for me because that was not happening.
So like how long after the first one did you pull the switch on the planning phase of the next one?
I waited a little longer than I should have. I think we took about 3 or 4 months off. The thought process is based off of my studies, it's about 6 months to plan a 2-day event. And so we went around that. But at the same time, we were going for a 2-day event for the first time and increasing in size dramatically. And so we had more factors to focus on than just, hey, we're doing a 2-day event. We're going to do it for 6 months.
That's right, because this will be the first one that's 2 days. Last year was just Saturday, right?
Yep, it was just a testing figure to, well, like I said, I thought we were going to be losing money on the first year. And right. So, I mean, it's $5,000 is enough of a gamble by itself.
Oh, yeah, trust me, I know. Whenever I decided to do a podcast, I went out and did a ton of research. Like, I listened to all kinds of podcasts to kind of get ideas of, like, okay, that's cool, I'm going to use that, or that, I don't really like that, so I'm not going to put that in my podcast. And I kind of just did a lot of research, a lot of listening to other podcasts and checking out and seeing what other people do, what works, what don't work. Did you do anything like that? Did you go to other cons and kind of check it out and see what was working and what wasn't working? Or did you already have, like, everything planned out the way you wanted it?
I had no idea.
Yeah, no clue.
I had no clue.
Shoot from the hill.
I had started off going to a small convention in Sheffield, Alabama, the Geek Gathering. They do it every year, usually around the September time frame. And so I went down there. It was my first time being to something smaller than Dragon Con. And I kind of got an idea what a smaller con was like. And then after talking to a lady at the library who wanted a con to come to Tupelo and thought it was as simple as making a phone call and them showing up the next weekend, I started talking to her about the stuff that I had observed from this other con and how it kind of broke down and how this worked and how that worked. And that's kind of when it clicked that I was going to start doing the research to get all that figured out. So I started reading articles. I started watching YouTube videos. YouTube can teach you everything.
For sure.
So, yeah, I did that. I studied Dragon Con. I just started reading articles about everything. And so about a half a year later, we started getting the ball rolling for that.
Speaking of YouTube, I can now officially perform heart surgery on a giraffe thanks to YouTube. I know that when last we spoke, one of the things we discussed is the facility that you guys were at was great. It just wasn't big enough. Again, that's a good problem to have.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, you definitely did it right. In part two, you're going to be at the furniture market. Which building is that?
This is going to be building number 5.
Building 5.
Yeah, this will be where they usually do the gun and knife show. Yeah, they'll be doing all that kind of good stuff there. So we have lots of space. The building could probably fit easily 10,000 people. I'm not entirely sure exactly how many people we're going to be able to fit in the building because of all the table space. I mean, we're going to have like 3 vehicles inside the building. We're going to have a regional Smash Bros. Tournament that will be at the event with a $1,200 cash prize, $1,500 cash prize. Our cash pot, and we'll have a sanctioned Pokemon tournament. I mean, we're going to have a lot of space taken up.
Whenever you go into your planning phase of the whole thing and deciding, you know, who you're going to try to invite, who you're going to get as far as, you know, panelists and everything goes, right. Yeah, what's your formula? How do you decide, okay, you know, who to get and stuff?
I am a bit of a chaotic, unorganized, organized person. And so what I usually end up doing, which I need to work on, please don't kill me, other people that I work with, I try to get a bunch of stuff just randomly pulled together, a bunch of random agreements, and then I start to put all the pieces together later. So I'm going to dump out the whole freaking puzzle and kind of flip all the pieces over, and then I'm going to start putting it all together.
Yeah, just kind of sift through it.
Right. And then I'll contact people. Hey, y'all are a group or y'all are an organization. Do y'all want to come in? I'll give y'all this many tickets for your organization to get people in so that y'all can do some panels, talk about what y'all do, talk about what it is that y'all do. Are there any kind of activities that y'all would usually do at cons? That kind of stuff for panels.
Speaking of panels, let's just go ahead and talk about that. Like,
uh-oh.
We'll get to like all the guests and all, you know, we'll do the whole announcing everything and letting everybody know where everything's going to be. But aside from the special guests, like what all panels, like I know last year you had a game room, like what various events and activities are all going to be taking place as of right now? I mean, I'm sure things may change between now and then, but like what different stuff do you have planned at the moment?
Okay. So we have all the vehicles. We have all the special guests, which we have more of those that will be announced and coming out very soon. We have our tournaments ranging from Warhammer 40K to Pokemon and Magic, and, of course, the regional Smash Bros. Tournament. We are also going to be having a, which this actually hasn't been announced yet, but it is 100% confirmed. We will be having a balloon artist there. And I know you think balloon artists, you think clowns and birthday parties and all that kind of stuff, but we're talking like a 12-foot colossal titan. He's going to be coming in for us and doing a life-sized doomsday sculpture made out of balloon animals. I know, right? Oh, my gosh. Oh, those are hard. You need to put those away.
They're hard right now.
It's not cold enough to need those ice cutters.
Hey, look, he said that, and my nipples got hard, so.
I thought you were pointing at your Superman shirt.
No,
but
I was pointing at the nipples. They got hard all of a sudden.
I knew exactly what he was pointing
that
at.
That is just wrong.
Because they were pointing right back at his fingers.
I know.
Wow.
Superman geek, I can't help it.
That's pretty awesome. And how big did you say that was going to be? Like a life-size Doomsday?
Yep. We're talking taller than you.
Oh, yeah.
Probably going to be 8-10 foot tall, probably.
Right. Like, if I jump, I might be able to touch him.
Yeah.
You know?
That's going to be pretty trippy. Well, let's talk about the special guests, the ones that are confirmed. And a little birdie told me that you had one that you may be announcing exclusively, officially, right here tonight on Kill Pop Culture.
Tweet, tweet, mother trucker.
Yeah. So if you don't mind, just give us like a quick rundown of all the special guests and where, like, most people that listen to the show will know where they would know them from. But just in case somebody's listening that may not know who, like, for example, Walter Jones is. Okay. Just give us a quick rundown of who all is going to be there and where they're from and where we'd know them from.
Okay, so we have Walter Jones. He's the original Black Power Ranger. They ended up bringing in Johnny Bosch afterwards to play the Black Ranger, but he was the first one. Then we have Mira. Mira is the main female lead from Babylon 5, mm-hmm. The main Minbari. And then also she is Rousseau, the French woman from the Lost TV series.
Right.
Those are the two things that she's most well known for here in America. And then we have Chuck Huber. Chuck Huber is an anime voice actor who has done things from DBZ to Yu Yu Hakusho to Full Metal Alchemist and Soul Eater. Being Android 17, the evil dad that fuses his dog and little daughter in Full Metal Alchemist, Professor Steen, Hiei, and he's done a lot of stuff. Pretty much anybody who knows the anime world is going to know something that he's played.
Yeah.
We have Delia, and she is she's from The Walking Dead.
She's from the Alexandria safe zone, correct?
Oh, most definitely. She's still alive, so it's not just it's not a zombie. We do have zombies there as well, including Chris Harrelson,
Mr. Zombie, as they call him, right? Or oh, Mr. Yeah. Walker? That's what they talk.
Oh yeah, it. Yeah. No, like he's one of the zombies,
and he is like a cool dude. Like, I hung out with him. We talked quite a bit at Delta Fan Fest. I actually met. Is it Dahlia? Is that how you say it? Or Delia? Delia.
I think so.
I talked to her briefly at Delta Fan Fest, but I talked to Chris quite a bit. He's a really cool dude.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's what we were told.
And he's been a walker like how many times? Over a dozen, it says here, or two dozen. He's been two dozen different walkers.
Oh yeah, and he's been some of the featured walkers. So like. He's been on some of the memorabilia and some of the merchandising that they've done.
Right on.
Mm-hmm. We have Dean Zachary and Mitch Faust. Both of those are artist celebrities. One of them's done work with Batman, Knights of the Old Republic, Doomsday. He's done various work for Marvel and DC. And then Mitch Faust is actually an award-winning artist from Dragon Con. So there's a lot of competition. There's a lot of great artists from Dragon Con. And so we're bringing him down. He's done a lot of great work. I think that there will be a lot of good stuff for people to take a look at and for people to get from both of them.
Oh, you better believe I'm going to have an all-star Batman ready for Dean Zachary to sign for me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. We also have Andrew Hackard. Andrew Hackard is actually the czar of Munchkin, which means he's the top dog. Steve Jackson owns the company and everything, but Andrew Hackard approves everything. So anything that's come out in the last several years, we'll be doing that. He'll be coming down. He'll have exclusive cards and promo cards that you can only get when you meet one of the top dogs in Munchkin. And so that'll be really awesome. He'll be doing demos and showing off new product, et cetera, et cetera. We have Diet Rich Smith. Diet Rich Smith has done work with Marvel, DC, Sony, and a bunch of other companies, doing work with stuff such as Superman, Spider-Man, Deadpool, and Cable. I point that up because I love Deadpool and Cable.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we have them. Also, we are bringing in that balloon artist, the balloon artist guy. Y'all will see him. No ordinary balloon artist. Or no ordinary balloon guy. And then we will be bringing in somebody who has not yet been announced. But
dum, dum, dum. I'll dub in like a drum roll here.
Drum roll.
Because this is going to be, again, provided, you know, everything works out and I don't have to edit any of this out.
Right.
This is actually a Kill Pop Culture exclusive announcement. Like, you will not know about this unless you listen to this show.
The first Avenger, Reb Brown. He is the original actor for the first Captain America movies that were made back in 1979. Interesting fact, he's also been in Space Mutiny, which is a terrible sci-fi movie from that Mystery Science Theater 3000 did, and it's actually one of their most popular shows.
Oh, wow, I love that show.
And so he's done that, and he's also in a movie that wasn't so bad, that is Uncommon Valor. He was the bombardier guy, so like he was the bomb specialist.
Now, didn't they? I don't think I dreamt this, or it was a fan like cut promo. But didn't they try to do like an Avengers like straight to TV or made for TV movie? They had a guy that looked just like Triple H playing Thor.
Oh yeah, it was the dude from Coach.
Yeah. Am I right? I mean, didn't they do an Avengers movie in the 70s?
No, it was the 80s.
If they didn't, then they need to do one now.
Yeah,
because I'm just saying.
All those people are still alive.
I don't even care if it doesn't fit continuity. Like, bring Adam West in and let's do this thing.
Right.
I
mean,
challenge accepted. Y'all can get sued later.
I need to do some research on that, but I'm pretty sure. And again, you know, it may have been like a fan cut thing where they like put it together as a, you know, like a mashup, what if kind of thing, but I'm thinking they did a TV movie like with the Avengers.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there was. I'd have to do some looking, but if there is, I'm going to see it.
Because his Captain America was a little different. Like, he didn't have a cowl. He had like a motorcycle helmet with goggles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He had the spandex with the stars and stripes, and he had the shield, but the shield was kind of translucent.
Right. It was transparent with red rings.
Yeah, and he always rode a motorcycle. That's why he had the helmet and the glasses.
Right, right.
Well, that's awesome. That's a pretty big announcement there, and I know there's going to be a lot of people that want to show up for that. And like all the special guests, I mean, they're all just going to be like signing autographs, like the artists. Like if you bring something for them to sign, I'm assuming they'll all sign whatever you want.
Oh yeah, come on in. They'll be doing autographs. Some of them will be doing panels. We'll actually be doing professional photo ops with some of them for guests. So we will have a photographer on site that can do on-site printing. So like he takes the picture, 30 seconds, it's in your hand.
Right.
And so you can actually have your photo taken with these guests.
Now, I know last year y'all did the costume contest and stuff. Y'all going to do that again this year and everything?
Most definitely. You can't have a Comic-Con without a cosplay contest. That's like one of the core foundations.
That's part of what I liked about, you know, the ending to last year, because y'all waited till the very end to do the costume contest, And there were a lot of really, really good costumes last year.
Oh, yeah.
A lot. So, you know, I'm anxious to see what we have, you know, coming in this year. There weren't nearly as many Deadpools last year as I thought there would be, though. Not nearly as many.
500 Deadpools.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting, a bunch.
I actually had a Deadpool mask in my pocket the entire time. If I had had time, I had taken it off and put it on, and I would have been business pool the whole day.
Right.
But I couldn't breathe.
I don't blame you one bit there.
Okay, so let's just do the complete rundown, the full plug. Tupelo Comic Con, April
1st and 2nd.
I'm going to let you do this because I don't want to mess it up. So just do the announcement officially.
Please come to Tupelo Comic Con, April 1st and 2nd. No jokes. 2017.
And that's
at the
it.
Tupelo Furniture Market.
Furniture.
In
sorry,
the furniture market.
I'm watching like the Big Show just came out on Raw, and so I'm watching. I'm doing a podcast interview, and out of my other, I'm watching WWE over here.
I have not seen WWE in long enough. He doesn't look right.
He's got a big old beard
now.
The
beard is bigger.
Yeah, and he's smaller. Like the Big Show used to be. Like
I am more intimidated than I have ever been. Is like the inner lumberjack has coming out of this character, and I will perish.
He's got like a fist, but behind his beard that he would punch you with. It looks like. And cut down a tree.
I don't know. Both of them's got pretty epic beards.
I think that's probably why you grew that beard out.
It's the battle of the beards.
Yeah, they've been touting this.
They're like sword fight with their beards.
It's a beard off.
A Jedi Sith is going to come out of the beards and start sword fighting shit.
And then out of nowhere, Stone Cold Steve Austin comes out and
his beard
chugs a beer.
He just does a stunner on the beard only. He doesn't do like the person. He just does the beard.
The winner has to shave.
Everybody needs to make sure they come out April 1st and 2nd at the Tupelo Furniture Market. Tupelo, the second annual Tupelo Comic Con. You know they did it right if there's no number two. We appreciate you taking time out to come and be live in the studio with us. That's always cool. Like, it's cool when people call in. I know most of our interviews are that way, but anytime you can take time out to come to the studio and hang out with us, I just think that's like, you know, a lot cooler because we get to hang out and chill and eat red beans and rice and drink a couple beers and shoot the breeze for a little bit. Before you go, though, we have another special announcement. We're actually going to be giving away some tickets, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right here.
All the tickets.
We're just going to give them all away.
Free con! No, I'm sorry.
Make this it rain is... Comic-Con tickets.
I've signed way too many contracts.
You heard it here first,
people.
Have
to get them away for free. But we will be giving away a lot of free tickets this year. There will be lots of opportunities to get those free tickets, either on our Facebook page or through our website or actually right here through Kill Pop Culture Podcast.
That's right. Every week leading up to Comic-Con, we're going to be giving away a ticket pair every week. And we're going to do it like we do our other giveaways. You're going to need to email us, killpopculture69@gmail.com. In the subject line, put Tupelo Comic-Con or TCC. I guess we'll know what you mean if you're lazy. And
I'm lazy.
Every week, we will print out all those emails. We will do a Facebook Live session where we do the drawing, where you can see us pull it out so you know we're not cheating, you know we're not, you know, being shady. You can watch us Facebook Live, and we'll announce a winner every week.
Those new band shirts look awesome. Where did you get those done?
At Anarchy Design.
They do screen printing now?
Oh yeah, they do professional custom screen printing at a very competitive rate.
But where can I find them?
Look them up on Facebook, facebook.com/anarchydesign69, or email them at anarchydesign69@gmail.com. You can check out some of their work on their Facebook page. When you're ready to order, you can send them your idea, or they can design it for you. It's a one-stop shop for all your screen printing needs. That's anarchydesign69@gmail.com. It's a one-stop shop for all your screen printing needs. That's anarchydesign69@gmail.com.
I'll give you a minute to think about this. I don't want to put you on the spot. But we have this segment on the show called Movies That Don't Suck, Even Though People Say They Do. And the idea behind it is there's a lot of movies that have come out that weren't that bad. They weren't great, but they didn't suck. But everybody says they sucked because mm-hmm. of the hype, like the the negative reviews. Yeah. And for example, the last year's Ghostbusters movie.
I already got my answer.
I didn't think it sucked. I mean, it wasn't. People tried to compare it to the original.
Yeah.
And that's where they messed up. But that was like our debut one, and I've got a bunch in the holster to do. So if you've got a movie you want us to, we'll do like the guest picks the movie of the week that we do here.
Movies that don't suck, even though people say they do.
God, that's awful.
All right, my movie is Batman vs. Superman.
I couldn't agree more.
Because I think that movie was great. I think that movie was better than most of the stuff that Marvel has come out with. And I don't care who you are. You can say it's a fan theory, but I've worked in the mental health industry before, and Batman has some hardcore crazy PTSD stuff going on.
Yeah.
Like, that's what makes everything make sense. The whole Martha scene, okay, yeah, it's convenient. He said his mom's name, where most of the time I'm going to, like, save my mom. I'm not going to say, save Betty Joe. I mean, I get it. Okay, that scene was a little awkward. But his reaction to that scene makes perfect sense for somebody whose traumatic event and traumatic life is stirred around that one individual in particular.
Exactly.
He would hesitate. He would pause. It would instantly change his entire outlook at everything because of that name.
Right.
And it's being his mom.
You know, I mean, when he said, save Martha, he's like, why did you say that name?
It's like, he was flipping out.
Right.
Like, he was gone.
You know, you bring up a good point, because I was like, you don't understand, Batman's whole existence as Batman is because of what happened with his mom and dad.
Yeah.
So, I mean, his whole existence as a vigilante, crime fighter, whatever you want to call him, it's all because of what happened to him when he was a kid. So, of course, that name is more than just, oh, your mom's name and my mom's name are the same. Woo! It's a lot more than that with him. That it goes way deeper than that, because his whole existence wraps around that.
Right. I mean, the whole, did we just become best friends? Yes.
Yeah.
Because you're crazy.
Yeah.
I mean,
he is crazy.
It's true. Like, that's one of the things that I really like about the DC movies that have come out, because I'm also of that opinion that there isn't a DC movie that I haven't liked, except for the scenes that involved the current Joker, but that's for another time.
Yeah. We've talked about it on here, I promise you. And I'll say this, and imagine you would, if you've seen the... Have you seen the extended edition?
Unfortunately,
it's got like an extra like 20 minutes. And the thing is, I know that movie was long, but that's a lot of movie to cover. That's a big meal to try to put out there. So it needs to be a big movie. But they added an extra 20 minutes I think it's just called the extended edition,
yeah,
or deluxe edition, or extra cheese edition, or something like that. But anyway, for the people that were kind of confused by it, that aren't like hardcore like comic book people, and that may just be like casual fans that didn't get it, that extra 20 minutes actually tied the movie together a lot better, and it made it more palatable, I guess, for the average everyday moviegoer.
Right. I mean, that actually reminds me of what I was talking about before the Joker just completely pulled me aside. One of the things that I like that the DC Universe is doing is that they don't give you all the answers.
Right.
They let you think, unlike most of the Marvel movies where they just put it out there. They don't tell you that Bruce Wayne is suffering from PTSD. They just let you see his dreams that he's pretty much seeing every night involving, you know, the events around his parents' death. You see him waking up in sweats every night and going crazy, about ready to attack something. In that Suicide Squad's movie, they don't tell you what kind of a machine that the Enchantress is creating, but she's living inside the body of somebody who's seen recent events. And if you look at that machine, it almost looks like the terraformers that you saw when Lord Zedd came down and was trying to terraform. And so, I mean, that's kind of where my mind was going with that whole thing. The machine makes sense if you think about that kind of stuff. They let you put some of the pieces together.
Right.
And I really like that. It's not a stupid movie.
A big difference between the DC-based movies and the Marvel-based movies is Marvel tends to put more of a comical spin and feel on things. DC doesn't do that nearly as much. I mean, you've got your scene where Wonder Woman shows up and Batman looks at Superman and says, "She with you?" "No, I thought she was with you."
Actually, she was with Batman because Batman sent her the email saying, "Look at all this crazy shit."
Right, exactly. but for me, it was like they caught a lot of flack because of the fact that they are a more serious style movie, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, they still told a great story, and I mean, me personally, I mean, Mark may vouch or agree with me on this. More of a DC fan than a Marvel fan. I don't hate Marvel.
Right.
But as far as my favorite characters go, most of my favorite characters are in DC.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm actually the other way around. I'm not a big DC fanboy, with the exception of Batman. And in all fairness, all of my Batman fandom comes from the Batman cartoons and the Batman movies. So I'm not a comic book Batman fan. I am a TV and movies Batman fan, and I'll admit that. But all of my comic book characters that I enjoy, and most of my TV characters that I enjoy are Marvel. I like Spider-Man. I love Deadpool. Deadpool and Cable. I mean, those are usually the directions that I end up going with these things. I like the concepts behind Thor. I mean, I enjoy mostly Marvel characters, and I had enjoyed the Marvel movies. The first Avengers movie was awesome, but I feel that the first Avengers movie is what is causing the Marvel movies to not be as great as they used to be, because the Hulk's one-liners were fantastic.
Yep.
And they created a formula with that. And so now every movie is plug superhero here, plug one-liner there, plug twist here. And it's the same movie with different characters. I can predict almost everything that's going to happen with it.
it's kind of like us with wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, shut up. Wrestling's real.
You know, that was one of the biggest complaints with Batman v Superman from the general public, is that it wasn't cute or funny or fluffy enough. And I'm like, if you want to laugh, go watch The Hangover. That's fine. Go watch a comedy if you want to laugh. Go watch a horror movie if you want to be scared. But mm-hmm. this movie isn't, I don't think it was supposed to be about that. Like,
I mean, that's the thing about Superman is, I get it. I've already admitted I'm not a huge comic book fan, but I do for the DC universe. But I have lots of friends that are, and so I get into those discussions. And my understanding of Superman is, okay, yeah, a lot of the times he's the Boy Scout, but he's supposed to be, like, you can't beat Superman when it comes to fights, because he's as strong as he, quote-unquote, needs to be, according to the creators and the writers. His downside to his stories, his conflict that needs to be resolved, is his personal struggles. Being an alien, living in a human world. And he gets gritty. I've read panels from his comics where he goes pretty much insane with some of his powers.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing about Superman, is he does get gritty from time to time. And we've seen two movies with this Superman, one where he tried to be the Boy Scout, and in the end he had no choice but to go a little dark and kill someone. And then we've had the versus Batman, and I'm sorry, but you can't fight Batman without being gritty.
Yeah, I came back and killed him, basically.
That was my only complaint, is that we all know Superman's going to come back. You know, we all know he's not going to stay dead. But did they have to do the whole, like, dirt lifting up on the coffin at the end thing? I mean,
the little teaser thing.
They're like, oh, don't worry, he's coming back. We know he's coming back. You don't have to tell us.
Right.
You don't have to make it obvious. It's Superman. He can't stay dead. Nobody stays dead in the comics other than Bruce and Martha Wayne and Uncle Ben, right?
Hey, I mean, and it only makes sense because of those. It'd be kind of awkward if they brought one of those
Bruce
up.
Bruce and Martha Wayne didn't stay dead because of the alternate universe.
Yeah,
you're right.
In alternate universes, yes. Oh, well, in Earth 2, isn't Thomas Batman?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, and his mom is the Joker.
Yeah.
She goes insane, and he goes hardcore to stop her from being insane.
Yep. Well, there's so many different alternate universes, but in canon of
that movie.
In canon of the main titles.
Right.
You know, Bruce and Martha Wayne have always stayed dead. Surprisingly, Jason Todd didn't, but I came to really appreciate Red Hood, so I'm not going to complain about it.
Mm-hmm. I like Red Hood.
All right, well, we're sitting at like almost 45 minutes. I guess we're going to wrap up here, but you're going to be hearing a lot more about the Tupelo Comic Con. You're going to be hearing about more movies that don't suck, even though people say they do. And I want to thank Jamie once again for coming out, hanging out with us in the studio. We need to do it again sometime. We may do like a wrap-up kind of episode or something like that. Like maybe after the dust settles and you've regained consciousness and use of your legs, you know, we may do like a wrap-up episode or something. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and I remember how I got here the first time, so I think I could wheel a wheelchair up in here.
Just look for Sasquatch.
All right, well, once again, thanks for coming out, and we will see you at Tupelo Comic Con.
All right, man. No, I appreciate it, and I will see y'all there.
Take care.
I wanted to take a minute to tell you about our good friends and sponsors of this show, Shadow Stalkers Paranormal, from Amory, Mississippi.
This isn't your average paranormal thing.
Shadow Stalkers is a nonprofit group that hosts fundraisers for families in need, and they also host fundraisers for historical sites.
Their fundraisers and paranormal investigations are open to the public, and they encourage everyone not to just watch, but to join in.
Look them up on Facebook and feel free to shoot them a message if you have any questions.
They are here to assist you with any paranormal needs you may have.
That's Shadow Stalkers Paranormal. Go search for them on Facebook and check them out. That's Shadow Stalkers Paranormal. Go search for them on Facebook and check them out. Man, I had a good time hanging out with Jamie. That was awesome.
It was a really good move.
The only thing that sucks is that we didn't keep recording for the next hour because he hung out for a while after the interview was over, and we talked about so many things that would be so relevant to the podcast, but we were just bullshitting and didn't record it.
I'm telling you.
Which happens a lot.
We're going to have to do that. One of these days, we're just going to have to keep hitting the red button.
Yeah. We're so looking forward to the Comic-Con. That whole weekend, that whole month of April is going to be...
Minus one weekend, I think.
Yeah.
Which we'll probably just get drunk during that weekend.
Well, see, we got Comic-Con, and the same weekend of Comic-Con is WrestleMania. It'll be that Sunday.
Yeah, we got Comic-Con on what, Friday, Saturday?
No, Saturday and
Sunday.
Saturday, Sunday. So we'll have to...
Sunday is over with at like 5.
I almost said TiVo, and I outdated myself. We'll have to DVR WrestleMania.
Listen. He did tell me this. I don't remember if we put this in the podcast or not. The time slots for the Comic-Con are Saturday is going to be until midnight. And then Sunday is going to be done with by like 5 or 6. So we might actually can get packed up and get back in time to catch WrestleMania.
Yeah, and if we don't, like I said,
we'll TiVo it.
Thanks to technology, we have TiVo.
Yeah.
And then the next weekend...
Is Railroad Festival.
That Friday and Saturday. Then we skip a weekend
to get drunk.
Well, I'm sure we'll be in the studio then the next weekend we'll be at the Alice Cooper concert.
Ah.
I wish I could say we'd be interviewing Alice Cooper, but I don't see that happening.
We might interview. Who's playing with them?
Never say never. They have not announced the opening acts.
QLJ. We'll be interviewing QLJ.
I would assume that Bisto Blanco is going to open because the guitar player for Alice Cooper is the singer and bass player of Bisto Blanco.
Right, that makes sense.
And they open up for them a lot. So I imagine they'll be one of the opening acts, but I don't know that.
Speaking of which,
nothing's been announced.
Speaking of which, if you haven't got your tickets yet for the Alice Cooper concert, get them.
It's not sold out.
Bring rock and roll back to Tupelo. We're not a hick
area. Oh, by the way,
area.
We've gotten so many requests and demands for us to have an interview with Tractor Jimmy because of your comments last episode.
Are you serious?
We're going to have to get Tractor Jimmy on the show.
We'll get Tractor Jimmy on the show.
The fact that he's a fictional character makes no difference. He's
no
got
difference.
Tractor in his name and we want him.
And it's all right. We'll bring Tractor Jimmy in.
I'm serious. If you were to put Tractor Jimmy on the marquee...
I actually know Tractor Jimmy.
At the Bancorp South Center, it would sell out.
I know Tractor Jimmy.
If we were to release an album, and it wouldn't matter what we put on it, and put Tractor Jimmy, it would sell out.
Yeah,
this is true. So Tractor Jimmy will be on an upcoming episode.
We're going to have Tractor Jimmy on here. We're absolutely going to have to. And if you don't know what we're talking about, you'll have to go listen to episode 59.
Yeah, 59.
Which, by the way, again, as always, thank you for downloading the episode. It's done well in the ratings. As always, I am impressed by your interest in the show. Impressed and surprised that you guys really like to listen. I've always said, I don't know if I've always said this, but I've always thought it. We don't have to be the only podcast you listen to, but we definitely want to be one of the podcasts you listen to.
I think you've said that like...
I think somebody else said that and I just stole it. But
four times.
Still, it sounds good and I like saying things that sound good.
You do say things that sound good a lot of the time. That's why you're the host.
All right, once again, we got to pay tribute to a fallen brother from the Tupelo music scene. I don't know what to say, man. I mean, John was so instrumental in especially the early days of Kill J when we were first getting together. Like, stories that I could tell a lot of stories. The early, early days with Tommy Higgins from Blowback Music, the Mid-South Band Association. It used to be the Memphis Area Band Association, MABA, and then they changed the name to MSBA. But we all went to those meetings because they had a stage at Memphis in May that we all played
right.
on. And we would all stay, me and Kala and John would be there and some of his band members. And we would crash at Tommy Higgins' house and we would party all night. I got so many stories that I could tell. And like I said, I try to keep positive when somebody passes because I'm one of those people that wants to celebrate someone's life.
Exactly. You got to remember the good memories.
Yeah. But you can't help but mourn the loss.
Right.
So,
you know, and that's what I was fixing to do here real quick. I mean, if you don't mind, I'm not going to ramble. I just want to say one of the very first times that I ever played a show with John was that, you remember Little Nashville?
Yeah.
That was fun times back in the day. We played shows with him there. We played with him at Tupelo, you know, over the years. But that was when I was playing with my old band, Division Cell, which you helped get started, you know, got us along throughout the years that we played together. And then later on in life, we kind of all lost contact there for a little while. But Seeking Seven opened for Tantric last year in Tupelo, and I was still playing with Seeking Seven at that point. We get there and John was kind of over that show, and John come up to me and he was like, just kind of, he just right off the bat started reminiscing and talking about, you know, old times and stuff. And the main show that he brought up and was talking about was the night at Little Nashville. You know, and we had like, I think they did like a whole bachelor auction off kind of thing.
I vaguely remember that. I remember doing some shows in Little Nashville.
Yeah, well, this was like the Brad Starr benefit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, okay.
He never forgot that kind of stuff. John was, he was a really, really talented musician. He was a really good dude. You can't help but miss him.
Yeah, and when they did the, what was that last show that we played with them recently at Mr. Tony's?
Oh, yeah, that was the Battle of the Bands between Hell's Heathens and
that's right, we didn't play
Illyria.
We didn't we were just there hanging out. It was so good to see him play live again. He seemed really happy. He was really excited about the new music that they were working on. And
I got pictures with you.
He was
and
just
him,
in
Ty,
a
and,
he was just in a really good place, it seemed right, like. And it was right. Good to see him like that.
Yeah.
All right, so that wraps up episode 60.
60 episodes.
60 episodes.
How does that make you feel?
Makes me feel 60.
Like 60 episodes older?
Yeah. We need to do something special for episode 69. Don't forget about the free stuff, man. We're giving away the book.
Tickets.
We're giving away tickets. You guys have been shy about emailing. If you stay shy, you ain't going to win nothing. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
If you want to win.
So does it count if they like hit us up on Facebook, or does it have to be email?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. It doesn't have to be email. I understand we live in a day and time where, like, literally the millennials and younger, they're like, what's email?
Yeah.
Like, I send Facebook messages. Okay. If you send us a Facebook message and say that you want to be in the drawing for the book or the drawing for the Comic-Con tickets, we will take that. And don't forget about Rail Festival coming up. Don't forget to go on iTunes and give us a 5-star rating and a comment, a good comment preferably. You know, normally we end the show with the outro music, but I'm going to end the show with playing that song that you like.
All the same.
Yep.
This is a great song. John, we love you.
We'll see you on the other side. Love you, bye.
Love you, man.